I'm Caitlin Matson, and this is The Green Room. Maestro Yannif Sagal from the Salina Symphony joins me to talk about two upcoming concerts. Hello, Yannif.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You have something coming up next Saturday, April the 20th, a chamber concert.
A chamber concert where we're starting out with a lovely Mozart quartet known as The Hunt. And I've been practicing hard and diligently because I'm actually playing violin on that one. And
Oh, wonderful.
then we have the fabulous Four Seasons of Buenos Aires by the Argentinian tango composer Astor Piazzolla. And that will be performed by Kansas Wesleyan University professor Dr. Leonardo Rosario. And then on the second half, we've got a bunch of brass quintets lined up. That's just going to be a whole mix of things that are fun and entertaining to listen to. So it's an outdoor concert. It's spring. It's out in a courtyard downtown in Salina, but at the Homewood Suites. So I think it's going to be a really fun evening.
Outdoor chamber music on April the 20th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then on Sunday, May the 5th at 4 o'clock, you have your next classic concert featuring the accordion of all things.
Yep, in another piece by Piazzolla, this is a concerto originally written for the Argentinian version of the accordion, which is known as a bandoneon. And it's got a slightly different sound than the accordion in the original version, and it's an interesting instrument. It's got you're used to seeing an accordion which has buttons on one side and keys like a piano keyboard on the other. The bandoneon actually has just buttons on both sides, and when you press in, you get one set of pipes, and when you pull out on the instrument, you get a different set of pipes. So imagine if you have to finger the same chord, you actually have to press different buttons on the way in and on the way out. So it's a very nuanced instrument, but the concerto also works really, really well for the accordion, which is what we have.
Oh, okay, so we have an accordion.
We do have an accordion, which is what we're more used to in Western in music. The bandoneon pretty much only finds its place in Argentina.
And who is our soloist?
Hanji Wang. She's a young rising star, if you can say that about
A
the
rising
accordion.
accordion star?
A rising accordionist.
She has to be. That's amazing.
I mean, it's interesting. I believe she comes from China, and I'm gonna be asking her also about traditional music in China. Because when you study music in China, you can choose either a Western classical tradition or traditional Chinese path. And so I'm really interested to get her perspective on what it's like to be in America playing music from South America on an accordion, and what's that like going back home to China, and is it, what is the relationship there with that instrument? What do we think about the accordion? I don't want to think about like polkas and things, but it's very much that kind of folksy sound. And what, how Piazzolla writes for the bandoneon or for the accordion is from his world of tango. And he's just a fascinating composer. He went to Paris to study classical music with the most famed teacher of all time, whose name was Nadia Boulanger. And he wrote some pieces for her, and she was kind of wishy-washy. And then she saw one of his tangos and she said, "Hey, what are you doing? This is you. This is where your voice is." And from then on, he stuck with that. And he created an entire genre of basically tango music for the concert hall. It's not music you can dance to like a tango, but it's so influenced by Argentine tango that it's really a genre unto itself.
And more we're hearing it programmed. I mean, he has gone from being in relative obscurity to, I mean, I think I just here in Kansas, I think he's been programmed at least once a season by one of our symphony orchestras for the past 5 years straight.
Well, he deserves it. For a while it wasn't performed because he wrote for his own band, which would be maybe it was rotating, but let's say it had piano, violin, bandoneon, and double bass. And so in that eclectic version, the original version of many of his works, they don't translate to what we play with. For example, the Four Seasons we're doing a version for string orchestra plus violin soloist, but originally it was just those four people in the band.
No,
But
interesting.
now his music is getting a wider audience thanks to transcriptions and arrangements.
Can you tell us about what else is on the program for May the 5th?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're opening with a piece that was arranged or orchestrated by my composition professor from University of Michigan, who's a MacArthur Award-winning composer by the name of Bright Sheng. And Bright took the Intermezzo Opus 18, 118, number 2, which is one of Brahms's last works, and it is a very, very sweet piece for piano solo. And he arranged it for orchestra in a way that makes it sound even more lush and romantic. It's really gorgeous. And so we have, a composer at the end of his life who doesn't have anything left to prove and writes something that is so simple and so beautiful. And that is what opens the concert. But what ends the concert is Brahms's first symphony, which in Western music history is really well known because it took him several decades to write this piece. Because in the shadows or footsteps of Beethoven and what Beethoven achieved with his nine symphonies, every composer coming out of that era, in the Romantic era in Western Europe, especially in Germany or in the German-speaking countries, had to contend with this giant of the symphonic literature. And every single piece they wrote, especially anything symphonic, was compared. Is it the next Beethoven? Is it going to be as good? Can the symphony, which is now this exalted status, the acme of artistic expression, is the symphony, as Beethoven did it. Can anybody else do that? So Brahms, in his first symphony, uses some of Beethoven's ideas as models. The passage from darkness in the first movement to glory light in the last movement. Maybe this last movement even has the melody kind of looks a little bit like Beethoven's ninth, the last movement of Beethoven's ninth. The symphony itself opens with these ominous timpani beats, like the marching, like Beethoven's marching behind me. Like you can hear that in the music. So it's a supreme achievement for a first symphony, and it's one of our masterworks. It's just fun to, not fun, but it's just interesting to think about how he got there,
Yeah,
and what do we do with it?
I think you're spot on. I think it's so much fun to learn these details behind the compositions and reminders that, these composers were humans, just like we're human. And you
Yeah.
think about how, it was almost the gossip on the street. Did you hear that Brahms is writing a symphony? It's so anticipated. What is he going to do? Is it going to be as good as Beethoven? Is he going to fail? I hope he falls flat on his face. You can just
Right.
imagine.
Yeah.
The gossip around tea or what have you. And then, of course, now we think of Brahms as one of the greatest orchestral composers.
Yeah, and he, as far as symphonies go, he only wrote four symphonies, and once he got the first one done, he wrote the next three within the next 10 years. So it was like the floodgates were opened, and he could pour his heart into that music. Brahms was the quintessential perfectionist, perhaps the most of the perfectionists that ever existed, because he got rid of sketches. He got rid of pieces that he didn't think were up to snuff. So all that we have left of him are the final products, which he said are complete. So there's not a note out of place, and everything has a reason. And if we think about how long that is in today's time scale, I mean, if you asked me to write a symphony and I said, okay, I'll have it for you in about 20 years, that's just a massive time to think
The offer would then be rescinded.
about.
They're like, thanks for going with somebody else.
I don't think Brahms wrote with a commission in mind. It's a little unusual. He had support elsewhere. Or he would sell the pieces after the fact. So he didn't, at least for this one, he didn't have to worry about that.
Tango Classic is the title of the concert. It is Sunday, May the 5th at 4 o'clock at the Stiefel Theater. Thank
Great.
you,
Thank you
Yanni.
so much. Thank you. See you soon.